Jesus is alive. You can look up, believing on him, and receive his peace and his direction, his instruction, his wisdom, his strength. His very life is breath. That's the discovery of your lifetime, the crossroads where you can make the choice to look to him or continue trying to figure it out, guessing and faking this project called life. Because of what he's done on the cross, you have the prerogative to take a different course. You have the freedom to look to him and follow him. And he will be there. You have to only call on him, want him, and he's right there waiting for you to turn, me to turn from my way to his.
I'd like to introduce you to my guest today. He's one of the guys that are on the sideman line of a lot of bands that play on the Billy Graham, Franklin Graham stages, and also Greg Laurie stages for the Harvest Crusades. And probably the only time he gets introduced is from the orchestra pit in
when
Broadway.
Usually when I've done something wrong, then I get something
wrong. Yeah. This is Jeff Lambs. Welcome, Jeff, to Terry Clark and Friends, and you're definitely qualified in that stage, and I'm very honored that you are. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
I want to get you to play on my piano here in a minute, but first I want to dig right away into an area that has been a real plus for me. In our Tuesday morning Upload Your Life kind of meetings that our Tuesday morning guys do, there have been times where I've been up against brick walls and suddenly there's this voice from Rabbi Lambs that brings a perspective that I really needed. And I've appreciated that, but at the same time, I wish that other people had that advantage, that benefit. And as a result, I've understood that as a culture, we kind of are limited in our perspective because of the discarding of the whole chosen people's culture that kind of is the foundation for our Christian culture. And to separate the two, in my mind, was like suicide in a lot of ways. It's like cutting off your arm and saying, you know, I'm whole now. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that I felt like I grew up in a culture that wasn't complete, because suddenly I'm discovering the color and the texture and the emotion and a lot of stuff that I just didn't get introduced to.
Yeah.
And I know that you come from a Jewish family, but how did you get into discovering the personal insights? How did you get the bug to go looking?
Well, let me just preface anything that I'm going to say in the show, Terry, by just saying that I don't claim to be a theologian. I don't claim to be an expert on any of this. You call me rabbi, and that's kind of a term of endearment, I think.
Yes, of course.
But this is all, you know, strictly, I say this all because I don't want people to get an idea that I'm an expert in any of this. I'm just searching, and I'm just, what came out of, for me, what came out of a very difficult period of my life, losing my daughter to cancer, shook my and my wife's faith at its core. We believed that she was going to be healed, and that I'd be walking her down the aisle someday, and that wasn't part of the plan. We really truly believed, and we saw a lot of miracles, but we truly believed that she wasn't going to die. And so when she died, it put us for about 3 years quite literally on our knees on our couch in our living room every morning, trying to figure out how we were going to survive the day. I discovered early on in our marriage, my son was just a couple of years old, and we were out visiting my parents in Las Vegas, and I overheard my mom talking to my wife about this Jewish guy, and I overheard, and I said, well, who are you talking about? And she goes, well, I'm talking about your grandfather, my father. And I said, what are you talking about? And it was revealed that night, right around Christmas time, that this is probably back in 80 or probably 92, that in fact, my grandfather was Jewish. And so that began opening up the door for me to try to understand, first of all, why she held that information back my entire life. I'm a grown man, I have kids now, and I'm married. And so why did she keep that from me? The pain that was there, my mom going through the Holocaust, my grandfather harboring a family of Jews in their home for several years from the Nazis. My grandfather actually took on his wife's maiden name, which was not a Jewish name, so that he could escape incarceration and imprisonment and possibly death. Fast forward, here we are, 2013. I've come to find out that I had about 9 aunts and uncles and cousins who perished in the war in either Dachau or Auschwitz or one of the concentration camps. So it got me on that whole, got Belinda also too, kind of like, okay, what does that mean that I have Jewish blood? And I had been told by a couple of Messianic Jews in my life that they said that I was Jewish. And I said, what are you talking about? And they would all say, in fact, one was Marty Goetz. So anyways, it got me curious and got us on a path. And when my daughter passed, it continued. We started studying from a more Semitic underpinning to like what exactly would Jesus have known? How would he have been raised? What would have been his understanding? What would have been his, you know, we talk about within Christianity that we're grafted in. But so much of how we do everyday life is we've kind of severed that. You know, like you said, cutting off. So I really, really started looking at all the parables and everything in the New Testament that Jesus talked about. I started looking at it through the lens of what if I was Jewish and standing there listening to Jesus speak these words? What would it mean?
What would it mean?
And I'm still doing that. Every sermon I hear, well, I don't care who it is. I don't care how up there they are in the church. I just want to know. Okay, I've heard the explanations from a modern day evangelical understanding, but I really wanted to understand it. What would it be if I was a Jew sitting there listening to Jesus speak, and having been raised a Jew? What would it mean? And it's completely changed the way that I look at Scripture. And so that's kind of in a nutshell. And like I said, when we lost her daughter, it continued. We before our daughter passed, we had already shut everything down on Friday nights and started observing our Shabbat. And it was a real point of connection with our kids and with people who wanted to be a part of it. Blessing our children at the Shabbat table, shutting everything off from the TV to the smartphones, having Torah study. It was challenging at first, but it really brought... Actually, our children saw meaning in it from the very beginning. Wow. They just absolutely loved it.
Incredible.
Yeah. Jordan and Aria both loved it. And then we started having people come over to the house and on Saturday mornings, and we would have study. And we would just take various commentaries, one of them being, I think, the only commentary, if you're wanting to go down this road, is David Stern's commentary on the New Testament.
And how old was Aria at that
point? At that point, she was probably 9.
Yeah.
Maybe 9 and a half, something like that.
And Jordan is how much older?
He's 5 years older than
her. Okay.
But they loved it. They loved the blessings, the ritual, the symbolism.
Yeah.
My daughter loved the bread. You know, the challah bread that we would have, and it still continues to be a great time of connection. We've had some incredible. Mm-hmm. Belinda calls Shabbat the table of truth.
Hmm.
There's something that happens there on Friday nights. That, and we've had all different walks of life show up,
mm-hmm.
from atheists to people who are Jewish that have never had exposure at all to Christianity, at least in this way.
Yeah.
And we've come to know now a large number of the Orthodox community in Israel. Rabbi Richman, we've known him now for many years, who's mm-hmm. the founder of the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. And so it's been an interesting journey, and it continues to be that.
I want to issue a little bit of a warning to our listeners, because I realize that along with us being grafted in but not really taking in the sap, so to speak, from where we're grafted into in a very real sense, we've been cut off from this. And there's a very strong stigma in the world that just runs from anything Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Messianic Christianity. And there's still that, I don't know if it's fear or if it's just an ingrained kind of separation that's, maybe it's a part of delusion, I don't know, that's in the world. But I take that as a personal thing, especially when I met Jeff and Belinda and begun to get acquainted with them. It wasn't long after that Aria, her life began to be challenged. And of course, the whole family was challenged, and I watched them go through the wrestling that they went through. But suddenly, there was this light in their eyes. When there was complete despair, I mean, I can't describe the grief that they felt, but I can tell you this, that it was very magnetic for me. And especially with the little innuendos that you would give as you were learning and studying the Torah and all of that, it would be interjected from time to time in our Tuesday mornings. And it was always it was like that table of truth. You had been at it, and it made some things clearer than they were before. And it was drawing me in. But my warning is that be careful and notice. Just take note of how you react on the inside when somebody talks about Jewish issues, Jewish people, Messianic Christians. If you feel separated from all of that, then there's a very, very clear reason why. Because we've been programmed that way. And I can use as an illustration my utter surprise and incredible pleasure in actually getting to know Russian people, when I was so surprised that they were actually very warm. And the language is a romantic language. It's not what I had grown up hearing about those people. And I'm just using that as an illustration, a personal illustration of how directly these things affect our lives. Now, the stories of Russian people would expand your perspective. But now think about how much that would do in your life, especially if you had some Russian friends, compared with actually getting to know the foundation of relationship with God through the perspective of a culture that God actually designed,
mm-hmm.
and dictated, mm-hmm. very clearly. And an Orthodox Jew is very serious about that design. And I think that's not because they're obsessive people. It's because of the material that they're obsessed with. Because it is the table of truth. It opens up that window into what was dark before. And because of darkness, you have all kinds of prejudices that develop. So I've crossed that threshold. In fact, we were visiting Jeff and Belinda in New York. He was working on a Broadway musical. and we got to go to the city, and we stayed with them overnight. And I don't know if it was the first time I saw it or not, but there on the table was what you mentioned, Stern's commentary on the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And I said, where did this come from? And Belinda brings me the complete Jewish Bible, mm-hmm. and shows me this is what we read. And it was perfect timing, because we've been going through the Word since we were married. And to tell you the truth, after 30-something years of reading the Greek translation, I started really wanting to hear the names, the way those people right. called each
right.
other.
Right.
And plus, what did that sound like? Like you said, what did that mean mm-hmm. to a completely Jewish audience? I mean, when Jesus said something, right. or when Paul said something, mm-hmm. even to Greeks and to Romans and mm-hmm. and stuff like that, it all came through this window from the Jewish culture, which was established by God. And I'm not preaching Judaism here. I'm preaching get to know God better. Mm-hmm. I'm always pressing on that. Mm-hmm. And I saw you guys do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's what I've wanted from the very beginning of the new life the Lord gave me. I want to know Him. I want to be one with Him, pressing toward that at all times, because I understand that is the good news, that I can do that. And so I got me that complete Jewish Bible and the Stern's New Testament commentary. And 2 years ago now, I started, Nancy and I read through the Word on a schedule that I developed through those years. I got tired of the usual ones that we were using, and I started making one of my own that included Old and New Testament yeah. reading together. And I called it Bible Reading for the Hungry, because it was more than those kind of schedules would prescribe. And I started in my reading, and we'd alternate chapters when we'd read to each other. Then I would read from the complete Jewish Bible those passages. And it was just like breaking down the barn door, opening the windows, just to hear the perspective. And I'm not selling the books here. I'm just saying, don't push away from things Jewish because of some kind of stigma. Just understand that because of the same stigma, the Jews feel like the Christians are the problem. So, you're standing on both sides of the wall and yelling at each other and not getting to know the multiplication of who we can be if we were actually talking to each other is a real tragedy. I really look forward to seeing Jesus face to face, because He's Jewish. mm-hmm. He's not a blonde-haired surfer.
Right.
He's so much more than I was getting. And that's what I want, is more of Him.
Yeah.
So do you continue to do the Torah studies yeah. and those things yeah. together with Belinda?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we study from some of the midrash that are available. Midrash is, you know, simply a term easily translated into English as being a commentary. So there's several mm-hmm. midrash. The acronym was actually devised by early church fathers. Actually, yeah. it's called Pardes, and it's an acronym that is the Peshat level, which is a surface level, just reading the scripture from the surface, understanding.
Yeah.
And then the Remez, which is the next level. And then the Drash, which is more of a commentary. Mm-hmm. Like if you'd go listen to a great evangelical preacher, and he would give you a real commentary on what his own interpretation, maybe it would be a something that would be culturally relevant when he picks out a scripture.
Yeah.
And then the Sof level, which is the hidden meaning, the very hidden meaning of the scripture.
Okay.
So, and I might have gotten that wrong. I'm just now thinking I might have gotten that wrong. But we go through several different commentaries, as well as lean heavily on David Stern's. I mean, you could study his commentary over a lifetime and not really exhaust it. It's just pretty yeah. amazing.
But it's just such common language.
Yeah.
That it goes in at whatever level it can.
So yes, we do, and we try to stay on the schedule every week. In synagogues all over the world, Jews mm-hmm. study a certain body of scripture.
Okay.
which really makes it kind of unique, because knowing that a whole believing community is studying the same scripture really kind of puts it in a different frame. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think if an entire Christian community were all studying the same scripture every single week. It would be really amazing. I think it would be interesting to see what would happen. But yeah. We stay on the parsha, it's called, or parshiot, which is the portion of scripture that's studied during that week. And so we try to stay on that schedule, as well as to celebrate the various Jewish holidays. We try to keep within that. Mm-hmm. Passover, Pesach. And
yeah. Was Belinda was she on board with all of that right from the beginning?
Probably more so than I. She really? Was more excited about my Jewish heritage than I was.
Really?
I was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. What does that mean? And then she was kind of like, well, no, you need to look at this and see what it really means for you. It's interesting because more and more I see, when we talk about if you're listening to this, then hearing something inside yourself, resistance may be coming up. I've seen a lot of and heard a lot of Christians talk about, well, they're the chosen. Why are they the chosen? I don't understand why God would make them the chosen. I think maybe a lot of people get hung up, like, why yeah. are they the chosen? Almost like it's a good thing. Like, how about if they're chosen and it's not a good thing? Like,
yeah,
maybe God chose. Maybe God chose the Jewish people because he wanted the world to see our own humanity played out in history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think about that sometimes. And because I know that if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we all have resistance to the Spirit of God working in us sometimes. You know, it's been an interesting journey, you know.
Well, the record definitely doesn't whitewash any of their life.
No, it doesn't.
Any of the history.
It doesn't.
So, like you're saying, it gives a real picture of what humans are like.
Well, yeah. How many times I've heard in my life, you know, oh, relating to the Old Testament as like, oh, those Jews, what were they thinking? How could they, like, they're such idiots.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's us.
Yeah.
You know, that's us.
And if we don't see that, then we have barriers to us right. seeing anything.
Well, I just think that, like we were talking about, we're part of the vine. We are part of the vine, and Jesus died for our sins, but he didn't come to supersede and completely cut off our understanding and our connection to God through the Jewish people. And it's really enriched our lives to be able to go through mm-hmm. scripture and go through life having that understanding.
Well,
I just question everything now. I'm in terms of, you know, if I could hear a great sermon and just say that's really moving, but I immediately go, okay, but what would it mean to someone?
Context,
what would
really
be the context? Yeah. And just like you said, reading through and just reading from a standpoint of reading the Hebrew names, that begins a whole new journey for you to understand it from a Hebrew.
Absolutely.
You know, understanding the Hebrew. So and you know, they when you're also studying Hebrew, is that there's an idea within Judaism that is that every word is a container.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you hear that, well, the Hebrew meaning of the word, and then it stems from this word, it has its roots here. Well,
right.
that's true. There's that, you know, it goes much deeper than just how we would ordinarily study the scripture.
And I guess I have to admit that I became a little, I wouldn't say irritated, but something very close to that, by just hearing the basis for everything being the Greek word.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we're talking about Hebrew.
Right.
And that's what Jesus said. He said, I haven't come to do away with all of that. I came to fulfill it all and to complete it. That's the great hope we have in him. I guess the question that's rumbling around in my head is about worldview. Because, I don't know about you, but just the little that I've, you know, the 2 years that I've been reading from the Jewish perspective and trying to get more a picture of what the context is in scripture, which I'm addicted to start with, it definitely affects my understanding of what's going on
mm-hmm.
And the context of my own life and mm-hmm. how we fit. But I think the biggest change that happened for me is this better understanding of how I fit into God, into Adonai, into my Heavenly Father, my Creator, my Designer. And this personal faith in my connection to him has become more tangible because I see more of his design, and it makes you grip what you think life is much lighter, doesn't it?
For me, it does, yeah. I discovered for myself that it's not my theology that's going to save me.
Yeah.
It's going to be my personal, active, intentional role in my salvation.
Yeah.
What am I doing? It's not through theology. I believe that when I say I've got it all worked out, nicely knit, neatly put together, that's my ego talking.
Yeah.
It's the part of myself that says I have to have control over outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing for me was when my daughter passed away is I realized I don't have control over my outcomes. I want to
mm-hmm.
more than anything. That's where I feel safety and security. But I know the one. I know the one
mm-hmm.
who has control over the universe.
Yes.
I know the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of times where I need to drop that part of myself that says I've got it figured out because I'm realizing, oh, that's about how I somehow feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to happen in times. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know where the Jews play in all this. You know what? I hear it, and mm-hmm. I've heard the studies, and I've been with some of the best in end times. Studying, but I still don't know for sure. But I know the one who does.
Yeah.
I know the author of the book.
And, I think wisdom is actually realizing what you do know
yeah.
and sticking to
yeah.
that
yeah.
rather than saying you know stuff that you really don't.
Yeah.
And nobody can except the pictures that God has given us, the word pictures that are really only designed for us to know him better,
yeah.
to be drawn to him rather than drawn to some dogma.
Yeah.
Of some kind, because dogma is simply just a cop-out from facing things as they are. It's like jumping off the train before you get to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to build a fortress around it to protect it. How has it affected? I mean, you are a professional musician. You're probably one of the most professional musicians I know.
Mm-hmm.
In all kinds of genres, all kinds of application. And you've obviously studied music, you've obviously applied yourself to become proficient at doing what you do. And I get the feeling all the time that you do barely what you're able to do in most situations. You're applying your incredible genius. And I've seen several people in my life I've known that's done this, but they have this kind of same humility that allows them to apply themselves into simple versions of what they do rather than always trying to be the top of the heap. I really appreciate that. And I just wonder if you felt that all of this weaving of not knowing who you came from and then finding out and then studying Torah and getting this more intimate graphic integration into the God that created us all and still be living and working and doing music. How's it affected that music, that part of your life, the music part?
Having grown up in a household where, you know, my mom, like I said, she kept us a secret, maybe because of stigma in the 50s, if you were saying you were a Jewish woman or...
Sure.
There probably was a part of it that she just wanted to erase from her memory.
Maybe she wanted to protect you
and
as well.
So I grew up in a household that I could have said pretty much I wanted to be anything.
Yeah.
And believed anything and they would have been fine with it. There was not any one religion or one belief system that was taught. In fact, it just so happens that half a mile away from where we lived was a small Lutheran church that probably the size of your kitchen. I mean, it was very, very small.
Yeah.
And I would walk there on Sundays and meet with the pastor of the Lutheran church, and he would tell me, you know, Bible stories and that kind of thing. And that was my first entrance into religion or any kind of belief system. But I always had a catch in my spirit that I just knew, even a young child, 5 years old, I knew that there was a God. But having said that, being here at this period of my life and gone through what I've gone through in my profession, at one point, working in the secular arena, I had almost like a condescension, I think, as a Christian to non-believers and seeing the type of lifestyle that there was and not really having any kind of real authentic love for for them. And now, being in New York for several years and being in various secular opportunities, I just go, you know, I'm just thinking, man, we all live by grace. We're all just, we are all in a place of grace before God. And I'm at a place where I have more opportunity to talk to people than I ever have about the existence of God. And because of what I've gone through, I think God has given me a love and a compassion for the journey of the human soul that I've never had.
Yeah.
And he's patient with all of us.
Yeah.
Not just Jeff or Terry. He's patient with every one of us.
Right.
And we're all going to give the opportunity. We're all given the opportunity to bend our knee or not to. It's all our choice. Right. And we do it every day. We have a choice every day. It's not just one time fits all. It's like every day we are given an opportunity. So how it's changed my profession is I think in general it's changed the way that I see my fellow man in general. Like I see a struggle now. Whereas before I was frustrated and I just went, oh man, you're gonna burn in hell. It's not that about that. It's more like it's about like I see the struggle. I see the struggle.
Yeah.
I'm more more conscious of that. And it's been interesting to see how many Jewish people that have been brought into my life that I've had an opportunity just to connect with too. And that's really been great.
Well, I definitely appreciate what's happened to you because I feel like I'm a recipient of that process because Jeff has produced our only Spanish project. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to behold.
Here's a sample of that.
Lluvia de bendición, constante misericordia, fuerza cuando clamamos, nos rescatas cuando caemos, humildemente adoramos, firmes nuestros corazones, esperan por ti. Padre eterno, creador del mundo, nos postramos ante ti. Padre eterno, Padre, damos gloria a tu nombre.
Torre, refugio y gran muralla de salvación, rey y mayordomo, eres bello en toda ocasión.
Padre eterno, creador del mundo, nos postramos ante ti. Padre eterno, Padre, damos gloria a tu nombre. Padre eterno, creador del mundo, nos postramos ante ti.
Ante ti.
Padre eterno, Padre, damos gloria a tu nombre. Padre eterno, creador del mundo, nos postramos ante ti. Padre eterno, Padre, damos gloria a tu nombre.
Padre eterno, Padre eterno.
From beginning to end,
It was just a blessed project. And I can't disconnect any part of it from you being a real producer, because there was times where there was laxity in the studio. There were things that were left undone and shouldn't have been, and there were situations that were pretty strenuous, especially with, you know, the Gutierrez brothers trying to get us to not sound gringo. But I feel like that compassion mm-hmm. has resulted in an investment in what we do and our library of musical expression that mm-hmm. In my mind is priceless, and it'll continue to have fruit as long as there's Spanish-speaking people that feel alone, because that project is a starter kit of intimate conversation with the Lord, and that's what we all need. That's mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. And the only thing I take as my profession is that I like to help people talk to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you're ready to talk to Jesus, I'm going to give you some background music while you do it and facilitate however that needs to go, and give you some guidelines as to mm-hmm. how to keep on track and on point. And I believe that that's what the body of Christ really is. And the gifts that are given to the body are for that purpose, for me to be able to, like you did in the studio and with To Your Soy as a project, you facilitated me doing the work of the ministry that the Lord had put in our hands to do. Yeah. And I think that's a reciprocal thing. I mean, mm-hmm. in the body of Christ, that's the being one as we are one, mm-hmm. As Jesus prayed that mm-hmm. the Father would make us. And that's really the core of where our hearing about Yeshua, mm-hmm. Jesus, the Messiah, is to lead us to an intimate relationship, an interaction that will forever be increasing in its enjoyment and pleasure and fulfillment and fruitfulness. And this stage of things is so hard because it is a test. I mean, this is the test. And it's like you said, it's choices every day that we have to make. And maybe that'll continue in some form, but I know everything is going to be beyond our imagining now when we get to the main event. We're headed somewhere. I think echoing in my mind is the guy's voice that was going to be the next super rabbi, Saul of Tarsus. He was so articulate about this stuff of being human in the face of such a projection of the future that is so beyond our finding out. So it's making those choices every time. And you were talking about this earlier about the facing our challenges or facing our limitations or our, you know, suddenly you see what your life is about, what your job really is, by seeing what you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when you're faced with the resistance. You talk about Paul, and I think it wasn't it Paul that talked about transforming of our mind?
Yeah.
Right? So what I see is that I was able to get to the point where I recognized who my God was through mm-hmm. Christ and the sacrifice of his son for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't realize that there was an active part that I was responsible for.
Yeah.
It was for me to do the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do the work. You know, I have to participate in my salvation.
Yeah.
In my redemption. And then once I decide to go on that lifelong journey,
mm-hmm.
like losing the 150 pounds or whatever it is, right? The mm-hmm. the metaphor here, and looking at what comes up, what's the resistance?
Yeah.
What's keeping me from that transformative life? And that being my purpose in this world is to find out what that is and to work on it.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I don't think we're designed to get to that end and then have 50 years of celebrating that we've, mm-hmm. you know, before mm-hmm. we be with the Lord. I think it's a lifetime work. It's the true, that's the true discipleship, is how do I live an intentional, mm-hmm. devotional life committed to my transformation to become more like God's son every single day?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I think God made it pretty clear in his book that the celebration is
no,
is coming, but it's right now we have to qualify to
get. And you know, if you saw it from a Jewish perspective, you know, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, believe that once they are in the world to come, that you're in yeshiva, you're in a school of study.
Yeah,
your study doesn't stop. So yeah. In other words, they believe that the afterlife, that the world to come, is more studying, more time of understanding who. I would tend to understand that and believe that too. That mm-hmm. How do we understand the mind of God? How do we understand our Creator?
Yeah,
I think it's going to take infinity.
Well, it's pretty. Abrupt, you know, kind of bump in the face to hear those words of I think it was Paul said, "You have the mind of Christ."
Right.
Wait a minute.
Huh? Right.
So how come I can't defer to it
right.
all the time? It's there. Why am I not deferring to it? And right there in a package, in a small little package, clear, very clear package, I've got, okay, what's the resistance? Mm-hmm. That defines what my job is right now. Mm-hmm. And so I interpret that to mean anytime there's a surprise, anytime there's a challenge, anytime there's an insult that I feel, anytime there's that tendency to defend mm-hmm. my place or my, you know, myself, mm-hmm. then there should be an alarm that goes off in my head. I mean, if I'm reading scripture mm-hmm. and I'm actually taking it in and digesting it, then that should be the alarm that goes off going, ding, 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 ding. This is the problem. Mm-hmm. You won't go past this. Mm-hmm. You always push away and decide that I don't want to go there. Well, of course you don't want to go there because you've never been there. But believe me, for the joy set before you, that pain that you're going to feel is going to be nothing. Mm-hmm. That's the illustration of the gospel. Well, it's going to be fun to go through those stages together because we're stuck with each other.
That's right. That's right.
And it's going to be, talk about celebration. I mean, I've got a few people that I'm going to give Indian burns when I get there
yeah.
for going early. Okay, but my perspective on that is nothing near what yours would be when you gather up Arya in your arms.
No kidding.
No kidding. It just splits the sky for me to think of such a joy. And that's just part of this vast universe of joy that's there waiting for us. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic. I don't think I could be over dramatic about something I can't articulate to start with. Mm-hmm. So my piano may be a little out of tune, but I'd like for you to play something out of your heart.
Sure.
and through the valley of night. Nothing can harm me. There are arms that hold me tight. When my strength begins to falter, and my hope is wearing thin, I trust in Jesus, and I lean on.
All the music you hear me sing on Terry Clark and Friends can be found at our website, catalystpeople.com, CATALYST, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come visit us soon.